Starting in 2022, institutions in New York that generate an annual average of 2 tons of wasted food per week, like supermarkets and restaurants, will be required to donate excess edible food and ensure that remaining food scraps make it into an organic recycler if there's one within 25 miles. Because this is uncharted territory for some businesses, Feeding New York State, which helps coordinate the state's food banks, is offering large food generators help in navigating this process, including making it simple to donate eligible food. For more on this campaign, we're joined in the studio once again by Dan Egan, Executive Director of Feeding New York State. Thanks for visiting us in the Capitol, Dan.
Well, thanks again for having me, David.
So when this law takes effect, what are you envisioning in terms of additional donated food and additional recycled food? Are we talking a lot of food?
Yeah, so the short answer is no one knows what will happen because no one's ever run a program exactly like this. We're kind of pioneers here. There's an enormous amount of wasted food. So the National Resources Defense Council estimates about 40% of all the food we create here in the United States is wasted. It's never eaten by anyone. So a lot of that's garbage, but a lot of that is perfectly good, edible, you know, fresh food, not out of code, nothing wrong with it, just either isn't sold, doesn't make it to market, or for some reason is not used to feed people. So our goal with this project is twofold. One is to get as much of that good, high-quality food to food banks, food pantries, shelters, as much of that as we can. And then for that part of the food waste that's not edible, you know, that's not suitable for donation, that you wouldn't put on your own table, we want to help businesses divert that out of landfills and get to organic recyclers or composters or, you know, farms for compost. Some purpose that will avoid the generation of methane gas. Food waste is actually the biggest source of methane gas in New York State, responsible for over 50% of our methane emissions. And I think people know methane is a very powerful greenhouse gas. So this project, you know, it hits a lot of great goals. It's a good environmental project. It helps feed people, and it helps businesses control their costs.
So the idea that there's food that should go to an organic recycling operation as opposed to a landfill makes a lot of sense and is easy to comprehend. But the idea that there are restaurants or supermarkets out there with food that they're going to get rid of, but that could still be eaten by someone else, seems a little hard to comprehend because you would assume that if the food can be eaten, they would like to sell it. So what kind of food are we talking about here, and why is it that it's no good for their customers but good for people who might, you know, not be able to afford to eat in that restaurant or shop in that grocery store?
That's a great question. You'd be surprised if you go to, let's say, a grocery store to see the amount of, again, perfectly good food. I can't emphasize that enough. Perfectly good food that's being discarded. That's not the fault of any grocery store, by the way. That's the realities of the marketplace. So think about when you go in your grocery store, what do you see? You see abundance and choice everywhere. You see very high quality food, but you see full shelves, right? When the shelves aren't full, people get anxious, you know, and we've actually seen this in the last 20 months or so with COVID, yeah. Right? You go in the grocery store and there's no paper towels. So grocery stores, to stay competitive, need to constantly be restocking their shelves. And so there's food that's still perfectly good is being rotated out, and there's more of it being wasted than we can even keep up with. And I don't want to pick on grocery stores here. I mean, this is true across the food industry. It's true, for example, in institutional settings, you know, at universities, at very large restaurants. You know, the process of our industrial scale food system that we have in this country produces a lot of waste. There's nothing wrong with most of that food. Nothing wrong with it at all. It's perfectly good. If it weren't, we would not be trying to get it donated. You know, when I go to a food bank and I look at what's in the racks ready to go out to food pantries, there's nothing there I wouldn't serve my own family.
So in advance of this new law taking effect, what questions are you getting from large food generators, or do you expect to be getting from large food generators as they begin to comply with this new law?
So the law kicks in on January 1st of 2022. So I suspect an awful lot of organizations that are subject to this law aren't paying a lot of attention yet. So we've been doing a lot of mailers. Folks with any questions can call us at 518-930-7000. That's our hotline for help with donations or diversion out of landfills. The questions we've gotten so far have been, you know, really basic. You know, who do I call? What do I do? Okay, I've got good food. I'm happy to donate it. What do I do? Who do I turn to? And we're here to help. We've actually got staff out in the field. You know, a fellow named Jay Hawkins, who's awesome at this work, is out in the field in Long Island this week, but he can go all over the state to help advise people on real basic stuff. You know, where do you put the food that's being set aside to donate or to go to a recycler? How do we pack it? How do you contact a food bank or a food pantry? What kind of scheduling can we put in place? You know, all those things, the food safety aspects. We're here to help with all of that. So those are the questions we've gotten so far. We're also expecting questions about where are the recycling facilities. There's about 220 of them here in New York State. So we've got a mapping tool on our website, but people can, again, can call if they don't want to do that. You can call that number, 930-7000, and speak to us, and we'll point you to a recycler if there's one within 25 miles. If there's not, if you want to go to somebody more distant, we'll let you know where they all are. I expect once we get going, there will be more questions with regard to food safety and transportation.
In case you're just joining us, you're listening to the Capitol Press Room, and we're speaking with Dan Egan, Executive Director of Feeding New York State. And you mentioned that mapping tool, which you can find at feedingnys.org. I was playing around with it before you came in today, and I think there were 92 food generators within a 25-mile radius of my home in Saratoga Springs. So what does that mean for the full scope of food generators that are covered under this law? Are we talking high hundreds, low thousands?
The original estimate was something like 3,000, I believe. We're still well over 1,000 organizations that are subject to this law. And you're subject to the law if you generate at least 2 tons, that's 4,000 pounds, of food waste per week. Mm-hmm. There is a process. You can contact the New York State Department of Environmental Conservation and get a waiver if you think that you've been wrongly designated.
Yeah, for the last couple months, they've been accepting those waivers. Do you have any sense of how they're deciding waivers or whether a lot of people are applying for them?
I know that many organizations have applied and gotten waivers. I would suggest people talk to DEC if they want something more specific on that. Mm-hmm. Pretty simple process, though. You know, there's an algorithm that says, you know, you're eligible or you're not. If you've been mistakenly tagged, okay, they'll take a look at that. And I know they've granted a lot of waivers. I think in the future, I think where we're headed here long term, probably will be that these types of laws, not just in New York, but around the country, will expand to include more and more organizations and expand the eligibility. What we've found very consistently is that businesses that are generating food waste don't like throwing out food, and they're very happy to work with us. They want to donate. Right. They know there's hungry people. We've all seen the news since the pandemic. We have yet to encounter someone who doesn't want to donate. The other thing I would note about the list, it looks like a lot of organizations, but let's remember that many of them are already donating. Mm-hmm. Your grocery chains, for example, virtually all of them are very generous donors to food banks. So we're here to help make that better where we can, you know, iron out any kinks there might be there. I think we're going to see some increases in donations from current donors, but primarily, yeah, to go get new donors.
I have to imagine the main reason why a food generator would request a waiver from this law, even if they are donating food already, is because they envision the requirements, complying with them, costing additional money. So how much of your job is about explaining to these food generators how they can comply with this law at minimal or no cost at all to them?
Mm-hmm. That's a great question. Let's look back at, let's imagine this law didn't exist, right? If you have a restaurant, if you have a grocery store, you've got food waste, it's not free to get rid of it. You've got to pay your staff to organize that, to put it in a particular place, to make sure that it's not attracting, you know, vermin or anything, to make sure that it then gets transported to a landfill or wherever it is you're sending it. So that's not free. You know, I know businesses that are spending $100,000 a year on their waste disposal, right? So that's a non-zero number now. Our goal, and we're seeing this borne out by experience, is that nobody's cost should rise. We're sending the food somewhere else. If it's a large quantity of food, food banks may pick it up for you. If it's a smaller quantity, we'll try to find food pantries and other, you know, smaller organizations to pick it up, or the donor may drop it off. But many donors have told us that their costs did not rise. Their profit was not affected in any way, and they like doing it.
Do you have a sense of what this law will mean for the number of organic recyclers around New York State? Because one of the concerns is that, you know, having to travel up to 25 miles, as this law requires, could be a burden. But with this new market, do you think that we are going to see a bunch of new recyclers pop up, especially across upstate?
Yeah, I think that's clearly part of the intent behind this law, is to sort of, you know, give a jump start to that marketplace. You know, we all know the effects of climate change, and we know what's causing it. And so these types of things need to be encouraged. And, you know, we really salute New York State Department of Environmental Conservation for their support on this. They've given us a grant to help us do this. We're also partnering with Feeding America, also helping us do it. But look, this is the right thing to do. I think it'll encourage the marketplace for recyclers and digesters. It'll encourage the marketplace for transporting that food, right? Because it's a specialized type of transport. You know, my dream is that someday you have food waste being picked up by a non-diesel, non-gasoline vehicle, right? An electric vehicle that got its power from hydro or solar and gets that food to a food bank, right? So you have zero carbon expended to get that existing food to a food bank, to get it to feed hungry people. There's over 3 million people in New York State who need this food. So that's where we're headed with this.
And finally, as part of your campaign to spread awareness of this new law, you know, you're sitting down with me, you've got these postcards, you've made up t-shirts. You also filmed a promotional video where a whole bunch of leftover food was dumped on your head.
Mm-hmm.
How did that experience compare to what we've been doing right now? Is it about the same? Anything you prefer? Which would you like to do again in the future?
Oh, it was much more fun to stand out in the cold, in the mud at the farm, and have a whole bunch of stuff dumped on me. I would do that every day. If that's what it takes to reduce food waste, save the environment, feed people in New York State, then that's what I'll do. Look, we're here to help. People can call us, 518-930-7000. There's a whole bunch of great people in New York State who want to help out with this, and we're going to make it happen.
Well, we've been speaking with Dan Egan. He's the executive director of Feeding New York State, and I have to imagine for the right price or the right food donation, he'll let you dump some food on him. Dan, thank you so much for making the time. I really appreciate it.
Thanks a bunch, David.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by the New York State AFL-CIO, a federation of 3,000 unions fighting for working people by keeping New York State union strong. UnionStrongNY.com for more information.